Chapter 40. Lyria. Departure. In front of the mirror, I run a finger along the pink line of raw skin that circles my head just above my highest forehead wrinkle. "You popped my skull like a candy dispenser," I say. "I told you it would be maximally invasive," Mateo calls back from the medical suite. "Oh, the options I had. So grand. Scars will fade, but your sarcasm's back. That's good. The first week out, the only effluence one could expect from your mouth was drool." He's not wrong. My first week after the surgery, I gibbered like a drunk. My feet wouldn't work till the second. I felt like I was operating a puppet body until the third. Only on the fourth did my body finally begin to feel like mine again. Most important, my memories are mine. Safe. Horrible. Precious. But would I even know if they weren't there? If I was, what did Mateo call it? Tabula rasa? A blank slate. Mateo did not visit every day, and when he did, the visits were not for long, nor of much substance. But considering I've spent the last 5 weeks with only the company of shiny robots, his smile makes me feel grand when I exit the bathroom. The elegant pink reclines on the sofa. The man sits like silk, all folds, no creases. In brilliant blue and green, he's the only thing in the room not bleach white or grey steel. His smile fades, and he raises a delicate eyebrow at the grid in front of me. "Grid-proof, please." "Again," I say, exasperated. "One last time. Think of my heart. I can't very well send you back into the world, wondering if you'll go cross-legged." His eyes return to his personal planner. I can't see it, of course, but I see his fingers twitching and know he's working on something. I start the grid's program and begin sorting the holographic blocks. Halfway through, the colour-coded blocks begin to emit frequencies meant to elicit certain emotions. I sort based on nostalgia, terror, regret, jealousy, love, amusement, pity, joy, putting the emotions on a sliding scale between the light and dark side of the grid. When I'm finished, 9.5 minutes later, Mateo stands and examines my results. "Horrific," he says. "What?"
"Your personality,"
he winks. "Your mind is yours again, Lyria. Almost. Do you still feel it?" I search my mind. The parasite is gone, but I still feel something. They say people who lose a limb still feel it years later. Must be like that. Except it was never a limb. It was always an alien inside me I couldn't control. Yet I find myself missing its security. With it, I felt I was due for something great. It consoled the part of me that feared how small I am in a world of giants. I feel it. He nods, stands, and walks to the far side of the room. I follow the man, clumsy in his elegant wake. We stop before a metal basin bathed in harsh light. Mateo hands me a small circular control. "Destroy it. It was never you. You were never it. Draw a triangle with your thumb on the prism. Destroy it, and be clean." I look down at the parasite. It lies inert in the basin, harmless yet seductive. Its core is as small as my pinky nail, and flat, and around it lie its thousands of translucent tendrils, a halo of angel hair. I've not seen it since it left Figment and burrowed into my own brain that day Victra, Volga and I crashed down on Mars. That thought, that memory of violation, moves my thumb. I draw the triangle. The harsh light over the parasite intensifies. Mateo turns my head away from the light. Heat radiates from the basin over my back. When it's dim enough to open my eyes again, the parasite is a pool of liquid metal. It trickles down the drain. Mateo clinks his glass to mine. "Well done, Lyria. You are free now." I feel free. Finally. You'll be happy to hear the Sovereign's envoys have arrived. Darrow is expecting you. I stare at him. What? He's here? Yes. One room over. His hardware needed tuning, but he won't be here for long. He pauses. He's bound for the rim. The rim. My mind races. Why the rim? Mars will come under attack soon. Oh, Mars is already under attack, and so is the rim. By Volsung Fa, in fact. He smiles and touches his pendant through his jacket.
I thought that may be of interest to you since he killed your friend Ephraim.
Ephraim wasn't my friend.
No, it was the other, wasn't it? What was her name? Volga? Volgana? Volga, I say, which you remember perfectly well. He winks. Just making sure your memories scratch. Darrow is not the hugest man I've ever met, but he is the only man I've ever met who makes his own gravity. I grow heavier the closer I come to his orbit. He lies on a medical bed under red light, accompanied only by medical drones. Sweat sheets off his muscled, scarred body. He has more power in one of his legs than I have in all of me. It was easier to criticize him from afar. Up close, seeing his body is enough to make me realize the distance between our experiences. What type of enemies must a man fight to need to be built like a war machine and still get so many scars? His voice is deeper in person and sends chills down my spine.
You must be Illyria of Lagolos, he says from the bed without opening his eyes.
I want to go to the rim, I blurt out. His eyes open.
And how is it you know where I'm going?
Matteo told me. He pauses for a moment. Even his silence is terrifying. At last he asks,
What else did Matteo tell you?
That you didn't get the ships you needed here, so you're bound for the rim, which is under attack by the Ascomani. Well, Volsung Fa.
He told you that?
And more, I say. He grunts.
Must miss the Hyperion gossip circuit.
I've seen Volsung Fa, I say.
Have you?
I hear the interest in his voice. He chased me down a hallway once, all in black armour, with thorns on it.
Thorns?
He impaled men with them. He wanted Volga.
Ah, the time you fled the Pandora, he says.
You know who I am. What I've done then, I say. He's still looking straight up.
According to my wife, we've forgiven you, and I'm supposed to make sure you get home safe.
Forgiven? Slag that. I'm done feeling guilty for something I didn't intend. I was asking because if you know who I am, you know I'm close with Volga. What I don't get is why you wouldn't take me with you, seeing as how I'm the only friend Ragnar Valaris's daughter has in all the worlds.
Only when I stand up to him, and only then, do his eyes finally meet mine. He's pained from his treatment. Still, I sway, knowing only a portion of what those eyes have seen. Io hanging, Armadas burning, a sovereign dying on his blade. For a horrifying second, I realize what it must be like to be him. The man cursed to use the weapons of the enemy to liberate people like me. All for what? People like me to stand with their hands on their hips and scold him? All the anger I've had for him over the years dissolves in the reality of his existence. I wouldn't want to be in an iron rain. I wouldn't want to fight a peerless scarred, and he's fought them all.
I am not going to rescue Volga, he says. She's probably already dead or brainwashed. Sorry, those are the hard truths. This Fa doesn't seem to play with his food. But Ilium is a war zone. It'll soon get worse, and Fa's not long for this world. Helios and all the might of the Rim is coming for him. Are you a soldier, Illyria?
No, I admit.
Then you really don't want to be there.
It's because I'm a red, ain't it? His eyes flash with anger, and then soften just as suddenly.
His voice softens too. Illyria, I know the spirit of Reds. I know it well enough to know a Red spirit is not in her armor, or her size, or her experience. He sighs. Listen, Virginia sent me your dossier. I know what happened to your assimilation camp. I know what happened to your family. The camps never became what we wanted them to. I am sorry for it.
I ain't yours to protect. I snap harder than I meant to. Now you listen. I don't want your sorry. Volga is my best friend. She's my only friend. She gave herself to Fa to protect Mars. Everyone just let her. I don't blame them, but she's got no one. I know what that's like. I promised I'd get her back. She's got no one else to fight for her. Don't you care at all? Ain't she the true heir of Ragnar? Don't that matter to you? He was your friend. We all know that.
He grimaces. I can't fix everything. If all goes as planned, we won't even see the obsidians. Probably just the rubble they've left behind. But oddly enough, they've given Mars time to breathe. I wish them well in their war against the Dominion, and I wish you well in your travels. Your ship will leave tomorrow at 0500. Go home. Personally, I'd give anything to do that.
I leave itchy with anger and feeling small as a tick's prick. Somehow I thought it'd go different because he was a Red. Is a Red. Because I'm a Red. Is it because he knows I'm Gamma? I thought he'd see my spirit, my pluck, and pack me in with the rest of the cargo the drones are loading onto his ship. But no, my chance to matter flowed down the drain with the parasite. Matteo wakes me early the next morning. I shower and dress in silence. Before I leave the room, I look out through the ovular windows and listen for the last time to the song that seeps through the glass. It was with me throughout my recovery, and I think it will be the only thing I miss from this place.
You are fortunate. The ship is stocked with cuisine from our own stores. It is run by a sophisticated artificial intelligence named Pilot, Matteo says as we enter the hangar. A Y-shaped ship waits with its ramp unfurled. On the opposite side of the hangar, Darrow's black ship undergoes repairs. It looks like a pit viper, I think. Light from welding drones casts wild shadows on the floor. Pilot may lack creativity, as its name implies, but it will return to Mars as efficiently as any human could. What if enemy ships attack us? It will react. What if I try to take the controls? I ask. There are no controls to take. You are superfluous to the functioning of the ship.
And everything else?
It will leave in... He checks his chronometer. A half hour. All you need do is lay back, enjoy the ship's myriad comforts, and you and your fellow passenger will land in Aegea 33 days from now. Assuming you don't get shot down or kill each other in transit, that is.
I stop at the ramp. My fellow passenger?
He's already inside.
Before we say farewell, I wish to thank you, Lyria of Legolas.
For what?
A reminder of the beauty of friendship, and that any mob is made up of people, in the end. I look back a little more fondly because of you.
Look back? I'm not sure if I'm insulted or not, but I blush when he sweeps down to kiss both of my cheeks.
He smells like heaven and flowers and sunlight.
Friendship, I snort. Darrow and the rest are going to find my friend, and I'm being sent the other way.
His eyebrows float up.
Indeed. At gunpoint, even. Safe journey.
He sweeps toward the hangar exit, whistling a lovely tune.
The hall entry from the ramp leads to the ship's lounge, where a shirtless, tattooed man sits on the floor drinking from a coffee mug.
I stare in awe at my fellow passenger.
The Goblin of Mars. Holy bloody damn shit. I almost run away.
You're late, he rasps.
What?
You're late.
Darrow said the ship wouldn't leave until 0500.
The shit you think we're waiting on, Ruster. Refueling. Clear skies. Nah, you.
He tips his mug at me. He slaps the floor.
Let's get, pilot.
Negative, passenger Barker. This vessel may not depart until the specified window. We are not the only ones in the asteroid belt. Your demand is declined.
Slag that. Let's go.
Negative, passenger Barker. The vessel...
Heard you the first time.
May not depart until the specified window.
Severus scowls down into his mug. I stand awkwardly until he glares at me.
What you looking at?
I look at the ceiling and feel stupid. I look back at him. Darrow is all weight and silence. Severo is like staring into a wood chipper, not sure if it's coming your way.
You're Severo Barker.
So they say.
I'm...
Don't care.
My name is Lyria of Lagalos.
Don't care. Go do something useful with your mouth.
He jerks his head toward the commissary. I stay rooted in front of him.
I wanted to say... My voice cracks. I wanted to say I'm sorry about Ulysses.
His head jerks toward me so fast I flinch back.
What did you say?
Ulysses. He...
Severo blinks up at me.
He?
I stare, horrified. He didn't know.
Oh, gods. I thought he knew. I thought the Sovereign would have told them. I thought he'd know like Darrow knew who I was. Does he know who I am? What does he know? Oh, shit. Shit.
He,
Severo asks again. A lump forms in my throat. I swallow it down.
He.
Severo rises to his feet. He's taller than he looks. Sturdy in frame, lanky with sledgehammer fists. Next thing I know, I'm in the air, dangling from one of those hammer hands as he chokes me. The hand has a skull of a wolf tattooed on it. He's not cuddly at all. He's terrifying. I can't breathe. My feet kick. I see knives in the holsters on his belt. Knives on the floor. They've sent me home with a monster. I swatted his tattooed arms. It's like hitting a tree.
He, your son.
I manage.
Ulysses.
Severo's grip tightens.
He's going to kill me. My lungs scream for oxygen. White spots dance in my vision.
It's a boy.
He blinks and loosens his grip.
Why are you sorry?
He shakes me like a rag.
Why?
I don't know what he knows, so I just spill my guts.
I was on the Pandora. I was Victor's prisoner along with Volga. Fa and his Ascomani attacked. The ship was lost. We escaped down to Mars with Victra. She was trapped under a tree. We helped her get out, and the three of us tried to get to safety. Victra had the baby before we got clear. I helped best I could, but we were in a fishing village. Thought it was safe.
It wasn't.
His voice is small.
He's dead? I'm sorry. I thought you knew.
He stares at the floor.
How?
I don't answer. I'm scared. Not by him, but because I know my words are sharper than his knives.
How?
The Red Hand. They took him.
My voice trails away.
How?
They nailed him to a tree.
He lets me go, and I collapse to the floor. He slumps. Hollow. Before I can apologize again, he shoves a small silver cube into my hands and says,
"Get this to the Sovereign."
He pushes past me and leaves the ship, stumbling down the ramp like a drunk man. I follow at a distance and watch from the top of the ramp as he storms from the hangar. When he's gone, I'm alone on the ship. I roll the silver cube in my hand. What is it? A message to Virginia from her husband? Or something for Pax? The AI drones.
20 minutes until departure.
Will Severo make it back in time? Is he coming back? Am I doing this journey all by myself? I turn to head back into the ship, then stop. I'm not just alone on the ship. I'm alone in the hangar. Darrow's ship lies on the opposite side. Welder's drones are at work on its hull.
More drones trundle in and out of its cargo bay. It's open cargo bay. I glance back into my ship and its sleek, lonely corridors. I look back at Darrow's. A smile spreads. I think of Mateo's last words. Forced to go home at gunpoint. Not a gun to be seen, I dart back into the Mars-bound ship, place the holocube on the table in the commissary, then run out the way I came.